Good morning, you're listening to 105.9 Bishop FM. It's Gillian in the studio and I've been joined by Archie Mackay. Good morning, Archie.
Good morning, Gillian.
How are you doing?
Yes, I'm not too bad, thank you.
So, Archie, you're here to talk to us about the Northern League and what's been going on this week. Did they play midweek or did the weather get the better of them?
Well, yeah, there were games midweek, but the first set of matches were due to take place on Tuesday, and that was West Auckland and Spennymoor, who were both due to play in the Durham Challenge Cup. West were due to be away at South Shields, and Spennymoor were at home at the Brewery Field against Durham.
Right.
But both matches were called off because of waterlogged pitches, unfortunately.
Ah. Has it rained a lot? Has it been quite wet this week? I don't think I've noticed.
There was a bit of, I think it was Monday and Tuesday, there was a bit of a downpour, and that caused problems for the Tuesday matches. But by the time Wednesday came along, the weather had kind of got a little bit better, and the Wednesday matches survived as a result of that. I think there was some league matches on Tuesday as well, but they were out of the area, so one of them did. I think Celtic Nation were due to play Ashington and Carlisle, and they had the same problem as the local matches had.
Uh-huh.
One match on Tuesday survived, and that was Billingham Town, or Billy Town, as I like to call them.
I love that name.
They played Newcastle Benfield, right. And unfortunately they were again on the wrong end of another heavy defeat, and this time they went down 9-0 at home.
Crikey, 9-0.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Paul Brayson scored four, Stephen Bowie scored two, Carl Patterson, Stephen Tobin, Stephen Baptist scored one each. The result moves Benfield up a place to 16th on 32 points after 24 games, and Penrith moved down to 17th, but Penrith have played less games than every other team, and they've got plenty of games in hand. We were talking last week about Billingham Town and this problem that they do have at the moment of suffering from a few heavy defeats, and I wanted to find out a little bit more about that. So I spoke to one of the fans who's active down there, and he gave me a little bit of background.
Right, so what's going on then?
He said that a new main sponsor had arrived just at the end of last season, who had been looking to put a bit of investment into the club and to bring his own manager in. And of course the club were having problems with falling gates and falling sponsorship, and not so many clubhouse function bookings.
Yeah.
So they didn't feel they had too much of a choice, and brought in the new sponsor, who also appointed his manager. But after just 3 weeks, the manager left, Tony Lee, and the sponsor also left. So it caused them a massive problem. It was a huge blow to the club, as it meant that they were left halfway through the pre-season preparations for this season with no manager and just a handful of players.
And of course Tony Lee then came across to Bishop Auckland, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. That's right,
yeah. I thought he did.
And so Paul Burton took over there, who had been at Maersk, so he had a bit of experience, but it was a bit of an uphill battle for him as well, since he didn't actually have any budget to work with. But he did manage to put together a bit of a competitive squad. But unfortunately, he also then ended up having to leave because he had, you know, he felt that the work commitments that he had alongside everything else was just maybe a little bit too much, so he couldn't really continue. And Wolf Constantine, who is the current manager, came in, and again, he obviously didn't have any budget, and I think
three managers within the first part of one season.
Excuse me. Exactly. Yeah, and I think when Paul Burton left as well, a lot of the players that he brought in left, so it was even worse then, because they ended up having to just sort of bring in a whole load of youngsters, and that's the situation that they're in at the moment. They've got a whole load of young guys playing. They're just, you know, basically trying to survive and make their way through to next season, and hopefully next season they can plan a little bit more in terms of sorting themselves out. But they all seem to be still kind of keeping a little bit cheerful down there as well. And
I think when you support a local club like that, surely that your passion stays for the club, regardless absolutely. Of the good times or the bad times.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's just the way that a lot of local fans are. In any case, you know, they're so strongly connected to the club that regardless of what happens, they'll stick with them through thick and thin. And that's what the guys down at Billingham Town are doing. And it's a great attitude for them to have, because at the end of the day, it could be a lot easier for them to just walk away and forget all about it. But it's not the nature of that type of football fan. So,
Hopefully it'll pull the team through.
Hopefully. I think they're all obviously resigned to going down to the second division next season, but it'll hopefully give them a chance to regroup and get themselves back on their feet again and start again from there. And
there's a question you mentioned at the start of that conversation. You mentioned that the function room, the sales were low, there were, you know, how important is that to a local club, that they have those extra sources of income?
I think it's quite vital, because at the end of the day, most of the clubs only attract, you know, maybe an average of about 100, 150 fans to all of the games. So in terms of match day income, it's not a tremendous amount, but it obviously all goes towards the expenses of running the club, you know, paying the expenses of the players and all of the rest of it. So anything that they can do to attract any additional money in is vital to them. And obviously it goes for the upkeep of the ground itself as well. I think at the moment they've had problems with their boiler as well down there, and they're having problems with the roof beginning to leak and things like that. So
it's one of those things, isn't it? It just, rains or pours, doesn't it?
It's never ending for them, unfortunately. But hopefully they'll find a new sponsor who'll come in and put a bit of money into the club, and they'll be able to sort of move on from there. And I'm sure we'll see them back in the first division soon enough. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. So anyway, that was Tuesday. What happened on Wednesday?
Well, on Wednesday, all the matches survived. Shildon were playing CM Red Star in the Durham Challenge Cup second round at Dean Street. On paper, that should have been a straightforward progression for Shildon.
Yeah.
But they struggled on the night in the conditions. And although they were struggling, they did take the lead on the 25th minute through Billy Grulich-Smith, who is making his first start for a period of time. He's generally Paul Connor is the main striker at the moment, but I guess they felt that they could give Billy a little bit of time in the cup match. But there was a slightly curious incident of that, when play was halted because a far side linesman somehow injured himself and he wasn't able to continue. So it looked for a little period of time that the game might actually be stopped, not because of the weather, but because they didn't have anyone to run the line. But the call went out on the tannoy for a volunteer to step in, and thankfully someone did offer to do that, and they were able to continue with the game.
Is he all right? Is the linesman okay?
I haven't heard whether he's, you know, suffered a serious injury, but I don't think so. I think probably what's happened is that because the weather has been so bad, he's kind of slipped in the mud, and he's maybe just sort of stretched a muscle or something like that, and he's just not been able to carry on. But hopefully he'll be back with us soon enough as well.
Oh, dear me. It's a dangerous game, isn't it?
It can be, yes.
Even for the people on the line.
Even for the linesman, yeah.
Dear me.
Shildon seemed to be playing well below par in the game. They were not up to their normal pace, and I think there was maybe just a little bit of mentality that they were playing second division side and they didn't necessarily need to work quite as hard to see the game out. But if that was the way that they were thinking, they were punished for it with virtually the last kick of the 90 minutes, when Danny Gray scored from 20 yards and the game went into extra time as a result of that. In the Durham Challenge Cup, all games have to be finished on the night. So they go to extra time and penalties. And in the last round, Shildon actually also struggled against Division 2 side in October, and only scraped into this round by beating Norton and Stockton Ancients on penalties.
So if it goes into extra time or penalties, what time does it finish?
Very late.
Does nobody have to go to work in the morning?
I think we managed to get out of there around about 11 o'clock on Wednesday night, if I remember rightly. But but yeah, I think after the 90 minutes, there was a few phone calls made to say, I won't be home at the time that you were expecting me this evening.
Oh, dear, mate.
So, anyway, the game did go into extra time, and possibly the memory of that Norton and Stockton game spurred Shildon on, and probably the annoyance of having to play another 30 minutes on a pretty heavy pitch. I mean, by that stage, it was raining quite heavily as well, and it was cutting up, but they were able to carry on playing. And in the end, Shildon's superior fitness played a bit of a part, and they scored four goals and without replying in the extra time period, and eventually ended up going through 5-1. I mean, it did flatter them because at the end of the day, Siam played very well, and even if it had ended 1-0 at 90 minutes, I think it would have done Siam much more justice than that final 5-1 scoreline did. And I'm sure the players and the groundsmen would have preferred that the game ended after 90 minutes as well.
I bet. What sort of state is the pitch in?
It's pretty heavy, and it's pretty well cut up now as well, so it's going to take a bit of rolling to try and get it flat again. So hopefully it'll be
like it.
Hopefully it'll be okay for Wednesday night when they're playing there again. So
do you know, as part of their punishment, they should have been made to stay. You're not going home until this is flat again.
Absolutely, yeah.
Keep going. I know it's 11 o'clock, but
I think some of them were. Some of the players were heading off, the ones that had finished playing because they'd been substituted were off immediately after the final whistle, and a few of us were still sort of hanging around trying to clean everything up or tidy up afterwards, and I'm sure we could have done with their help, but no, they're the players, so they get away with these things.
I bet the changing room was a state.
Yes, no, absolutely. I mean, I don't think the washing machines will have been looking forward to receiving the strips either.
Okay, well, who else was playing then on Wednesday?
There was two other Durham Challenge Cup games involving Northern League sides on Wednesday. Billingham Synthonia came from behind to comfortably beat Seton Carew 5-2. But possibly the result of the night was Consett, who won 4-3 against Hartlepool United side. That included a couple of their senior players, Jordan Richards and Jack Compton, who are returning from returning to fitness from injury.
That is a good result, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very good result. They were extremely happy with that. Yeah,
they would be.
Gateshead also played Darlington and beat them 4-1 to progress. Generally, a lot of these sides put out younger teams as well, so it's not really a reflection on, you know, a full strength Darlington side that they lost 4-1. And the draw for the quarter final took place on Thursday, with probably the tie of the round being the winners of the postponed Spennymoor Durham game, who and that game will now be played this coming Tuesday, and they earned a home match against Gateshead, so that'll be quite a big game.
They're doing quite well, the Gateshead, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're doing okay at the moment, actually. Yeah, I think they were struggling a little bit at the beginning of last season, but they kind of overcame that a little bit, and they're a bit more comfortable and relaxed now. Shildon will play at home against Dunstan, who swept aside the other Hartlepool side, Hartlepool FC, who are a Wearside League team, and they beat them 9-1 away from home. South Shields were drawn again at home against the winners of the postponed game between West and Billingham Synthonia, and Consett will play Stockton, who beat Wickham 6-2 yesterday.
So Archie, there's been an awful lot of talk this week about transfers and news of stuff going on over at Spennymoor. What's happening?
Yeah, there's been a few transfers this week, but I think the biggest one that's taken most people by surprise is the announcement that Spennymoor captain Daniel, or Bobby as he's better known, Bobby Moore, has been transfer listed by the club.
Right. What's going on there then?
Well, as I say, it's taken everybody by surprise, but the club did release a statement on their official website, which is attributed to Jason Ainsley, the manager, and he said that as a club, Daniel does not fit into the long-term plans, and we feel that it suits both parties if Daniel moves on. I'd like to thank Bobby for all of his... Bobby Daniel is... he has both names.
Yeah.
I would like to thank Bobby for all of his efforts since he has been with us, and wish him well in the future. Chris Mason will take over the duties of club captain with immediate effect. Obviously caused a bit of a stir on some of the football forums, and Bobby himself then took to the Spennymoor forum to explain that the ankle break that he had suffered just before the FA Vaz final last season had affected him mentally as well as physically. He said, it's simply a case that I personally don't think I've performed to the standards required of the club or myself. And after speaking with Chairman Brad Groves and Manager Jason Ainsley at length, it was agreed that I make a fresh start and get my hunger and my head back into the game. So I don't know if I'm behind the curve on this a little bit or not, but I'm sure there'll be a scramble for a signature. I haven't heard yet that he has signed for anybody else, but I'm sure it won't take long before there's an announcement about that. But
and of course he's an excellent player. I mean, he helped. He did so much last season, didn't he, for Spennymoor?
Well, he was actually he also received the Player of the Year last season in the Northern League, and of course, you know, the tragedy was that he broke his ankle just before the FA Vaz final. He was there and he was up on the podium to lift the cup with his fellow teammates, but I guess, you know, when something like that happens, it must have a kind of mental effect on you as well, because I think Bobby's well known for being a, you know, a no-nonsense player who's fully committed. So, you know, when you play like that, you know, there's always a chance that you might come out second best in a tackle, and if you're not quite, you know, fully confident of yourself yet, then he's probably doing the right thing for himself, you know, and it won't take long for him to get back up there again.
Oh, well, good luck to him.
Hopefully so, anyway, and good luck to him,
What about the other teams then? Are they looking at transfers?
Yeah, there's been a few others as well. Shildon and CM Red Star have agreed a deal that takes Shildon midfielder Lee Kerr to the second division side on loan. Lee is one of the most highly rated players in the league, but he struggled to get into the Shildon side since his move from Spennymoor earlier in the season. CM are in contention for promotion, so the deal will hopefully be beneficial to both clubs, because Lee obviously needs to get a bit of time on the field to get back to full fitness, and if he does return to form, he'll obviously be a huge asset to Red Star in their bid to get into the first division. He didn't play for them yesterday when they played, but I'm sure it won't be long before he's pulling on their jersey. I got some information from Bishop Auckland's club secretary John Stubbs as well, who reports that Jeff Smith has decided to retire and that Robert Monco is expected to be transferred. He doesn't give any details as to where he's due to go to, but there's also Danielle, who's come in from Marske United, and he should give the side a little bit of movement up front.
So, Bishop, they're trying to make themselves a little bit more of an attacking team then.
Yeah, I think so. And they've also, John also said that, you know, their focus really is on rebuilding as well, and looking forward to next season. So I'm sure they're going to spend a little bit of time trying to, you know, look at players that they can bring in for next season's campaign. And if some of those guys can arrive before the end of the season, then I'm sure they'll be quite happy to bring them in, because obviously it takes a little bit of time for any player to bed into a new club, so getting them a little bit earlier would mean that they would have a chance to do that and maybe hit the ground running a little bit when the next season starts. Crook have also been active in the player market. They've announced the signing of goalkeeper Jack Norton from Consett. Norton's an experienced keeper. He was at Darlington last season, and has also played for Tow Law among a few other clubs during his career. So that's a fair bit of transfer activity. I mean, it's not like the Premier League's January transfer window, but it is January and there's been a few transfers. So
that's a bit of a surprise to me, because I didn't realise that those Northern League teams transferred people around quite so much.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I mean, I think there's some players are kept on contract. I mean, if clubs are quite serious about, you know, what they're trying to achieve, then they'll try and get all of their players on contract, which basically does mean that if anybody wants to take them, they have to negotiate a fee to do that. But and it makes it much more difficult for them to transfer away quickly. But in general, I think there's something called a seven-day notice rule in the Northern League, and any player can transfer with can give their club 7 days' notice to move on to another club. So if you're not under contract, you'll very often see, you know, movements like this. You'll see quite a lot of people transferring around mm-hmm. around the league. Quite a lot of players doing that. So right. it's not unusual to see a reasonable amount of transfer activity.
Yeah, I mean those people we've just been talking about. Mm-hmm. They're quite big names in their clubs, aren't they?
Oh yeah, I mean.
So will they have been on contract?
I can't say for certain whether they would have all been on contract or not, but I think, well, Bobby Moore is definitely on contract. I mean, yeah. I think his contract comes to its end at the end of this season. Mm-hmm. And he would have, you know, in other circumstances probably been, you know, Spenny Moore and himself would have probably been looking to renew that contract. But something like this just makes him immediately available, so even if he is on contract, he's basically being released so he can move on as soon as he agrees a deal with another club. I'm not sure if Lee Kerr is on contract. I should know. But I'm not entirely sure if Lee's on contract at Shildon or not, but he's going out on loan, so that suggests to me that Shildon obviously want to hang on to him, and I think Lee's been coveted by Gary Forrest, the Shildon manager, for a very long time. He rates him very highly indeed, and so does most of the league, in fact. But he's kind of gone off the boil a little bit since he went to Spennymoor. He didn't really get into the side there, and as a result, he's lost a bit of fitness, and that's made him struggle to get into the Shildon side, which is, you know, got quite a competitive midfield at the moment. So it's probably a good deal for Shildon that he's gone off to see him, and hopefully he'll get a few games under his belt there, and get back, get some fitness, and that will definitely bring him back to form, you know, because he's a good player.
Yeah, I've got to say, it must be great having the pick.
yeah,
they're doing well if they've got that pick of the bunch.
Absolutely, I think. Shildon in particular invested quite heavily in this season in players. They went very close to the FA Vars last season. They got to the semi-final, and I think Gary Forrest probably saw that there was potential in that side to go a little bit further, if not in the Vars, then in the league. And the league, as Gary has always insisted, is his priority.
Yeah.
And he brought in quite a lot of previous league winners this season, so there's a good deal of experience in the Shildon team, and anybody who wants to get into that first team will have to, you know, fight very hard in training to do that, you know. So he's got a very competitive squad at the moment.